the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Marion McCone and Carl Thomas with us for our weekly discussion on what's going on in America. And it's a long list of things we have to get through. But Carl, I'm going to start with you. And what do you make of Donald Trump trying to blame Vladimir Zelensky of Ukraine for the war with Russia, that claiming that Ukraine started it and shouldn't have started it against somebody 20 times Ukraine's start? What do you make of this enormous lie?
Well, it's ridiculous, Matt. I mean, it's like blaming the United States for Pearl Harbor in 1941, although there are some people still left who say that the U.S. encouraged, by its policies, Japan to attack us. I think it's ludicrous. It is not rooted in history of any kind, of any responsible historian. And I don't know why he continues to suck up to Vladimir Putin and repeat a lot of his propaganda. It's not doing us any good. Putin hasn't stopped bombing Ukraine. Putin hasn't come to the table and argued for peace talks or a cessation of the attacks. Putin started the war against a sovereign country. And as we've talked about on this show before, he wants to extend his influence to the other former Soviet republics. What Trump thinks he can gain by kissing up to Putin and blaming Ukraine for this war is beyond me.
And yet, Marion, Trump tried to excuse the latest war crime, bombing of civilians by Russia, as a mistake.
Yeah, you know, I agree with what Carl just said. It's shocking. And then, he saying that it was a mistake. And then when he was asked about it, well, you have to ask them. He didn't literally even know what he was talking about. There is no evidence whatsoever that it was a mistake. There is every evidence that it was deliberate. And we saw the remarks of the Ukrainian MP who basically said that he's just using Russian talking points and that, you know, it is preposterous. And I believe his quote was, it's like saying 9/11 was a mistake by Al-Qaeda. Okay, that's an extreme example. But it shows not just that Trump is ignorant and indifferent, but that he's willfully so. That, you know, he's spouting this stuff without a shred of evidence. And when he's asked to back up his statement, he just shrugs it off. It's just appalling. And people are forgetting that Russia is the aggressor here, that Russia invaded Ukraine, and that these people were killed on their way to a Palm service.
Palm Sunday,
I beg your pardon. But this is now the change in tune in America. It was just that a lot of Americans were, becoming, opposed to funding the war in Ukraine and giving Zelensky money for more missiles. But now there's a switch amongst Republicans where they're actively pro-Russian. And it's really quite shocking. And the Republicans who aren't are just saying nothing. So it's a deeply disturbing development.
Indeed, Carl, the US envoy, Steve Witkoff, met with Putin in St. Petersburg last Friday. They had 5 hours of meetings. He said the Russian leader's request had been to get a permanent peace beyond a ceasefire, a permanent peace on his terms. But here's a really interesting line from Witkoff, what he told Fox News yesterday. There's a possibility to reshape the Russian-United States relationship through some very compelling commercial opportunities that I think give real stability to the region too. And here's the three words I thought that jumped out. Partnerships create stability. So here we have Trump waging economic war all over the world, except with Russia and North Korea. And we have his envoy saying partnerships create stability when Trump is tearing partnerships up all over the world. What do you make of that?
Well, this reminds me of the rationale by Henry Ford, the Ford Motor Company, of building plants inside the Soviet Union under Joseph Stalin, while ignoring forced famines, the gulags, and summary arrests and executions. I mean, this makes absolutely no sense at all. I don't know what in the world he's thinking. The idea somehow of prosperity is going to lead to peace or is going to diffuse Putin's goals is ridiculous. The same thing applies to Iran. I mean, this idea that you could negotiate with people who are underwriting terrorism around the world, the world's biggest sponsor of terrorism, and who think they have a religious mandate to eradicate Israel and kill Jews, I mean, is just self-delusion and has absolutely no basis in history or in fact.
Marion, let's move on to other things. Tell us about how the Trump regime is refusing to obey a Supreme Court ruling in relation to a deported Maryland man. And we had the likes of Stephen Miller twisting it in that TV press conference yesterday, quite absurdly.
Yeah, absolutely. But first of all, Matt, I'm going to say very quickly what Witkoff is referring to there, and this partnership is very clear that Russia will keep all of the territories it has already annexed, and in exchange it will do a deal with America for the rare earth minerals, which are there in considerable amounts. That's the deal they're talking about there. So, but to move on to Kilmar Brego Garcia's situation, which is really tragic, just for the listeners out there, this was a man who fled El Salvador after the local gangs tried to force him to become a member of one of their gangs, and after they tried to extort his family. So he fled El Salvador precisely to avoid being dragged into a gang. And in 2019, an immigration judge found that and agreed with the evidence presented and said he was not to be returned to El Salvador. And then in an apparent administrative error by ICE, that's precisely what happened. He was sent to El Salvador. He was deported on one of those planes and sent to the hellhole mass prison, the Seacop prison, which houses 40,000 gang members or alleged gang members in conditions that are beyond barbaric. Okay, so his lawyers went to the various courts, and a lower court judge ordered that the Trump administration effectuate and facilitate his return to the United States. Trump said, well, we can't do that. We've no way of getting him back. Sorry. It went to the Supreme Court. They contested that, and the Supreme Court, for reasons that are best known to the Supreme Court, upheld the ruling partially, but they said that Trump only has to facilitate his return. And the Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, is taking that as, well, you know what, Mr. Garcia, if you manage to get out of Seacot off your own steam, and if you manage to get back to America off your own steam, we'll let you back in and you can hold your hearing then, but we're not doing anything to bring you back. This is absolutely ludicrous. And you had Steve Miller, as I say, saying that there's no scenario where he's coming back into the country. And even more obscene was the situation, the tableau yesterday, where the Salvadorian president, who is a dictator and a thug, Nayib Bukele, was sitting in the Oval Office across from Trump and chuckling, and as he said, how can I return to the United States? Of course I'm not going to do it. It's preposterous. How can I smuggle a terrorist into the United States? While Donald Trump sat there chuckling. There is no other president who would give this thug room space anywhere in America, let alone in the Oval Office. The whole thing is just appalling.
And he wasn't even wearing a tie like Zelensky, Cal.
Exactly.
But that wasn't brought up. What did you make of this El Salvadorian dictator having the red carpet rolled out for him?
Well, he's certainly the best looking of any dictator I've seen in a long time. Look pretty hot there in the Oval Office with his black sweater and black jacket and black pants. Look, this is why we have due process in this country, or are supposed to. I remember, and I think I mentioned this before, the roundup of Japanese Americans during the Franklin Roosevelt administration, out of fear, put in cages. It was a terrible, terrible time. And this notion that you can just send somebody out of the country on a plane with other people who are alleged to be criminals, without a hearing, without due process, is very, very dangerous. And these things always start at the extreme. You find somebody, okay, here are a bunch of people who've been convicted, and there have been a number of rape and brutalities of other kinds. But then you find somebody like this, and you round him up along with all the others without due process. I think it's extremely dangerous. I think it's unconstitutional. I think the wimpy Republicans in Congress who won't speak to this are really violating their own oaths of office, in addition to whatever integrity they may have left.
And Marion, the suggestion as well that US citizens, even those I think who were born in the United States, might be deported to places like El Salvador if they're found guilty of crimes.
Exactly. And, you know, as Cal said, this is the slippery slope that we're on. But Cal, I'm going to raise you one. I say the Democrats are equally as wimpy and spineless on this because they're afraid that if they make a fuss on this, that it might turn out that one of those people was actually a gang member. And oh my God, then it'll look like they're supporting gang members staying in America. All of Congress is abdicating its responsibility on this. But yeah, on this, I mean, there is no law. There is no interpretation of any law that says you can take an American citizen and send them, rendition them to a jail in a foreign country without a trial or without due process. But I think what Trump is getting at here is very possibly people who have become naturalized. So it could be Mexicans or El Salvadorians or Central Americans or Irish people, for that matter, who have become American citizens, who weren't actually born in America. And again, this is the slippery slope where they'll say that person should never have been given a citizenship. That person was unworthy and now we're deporting them. This is where we're at. People keep talking about, are we in a constitutional crisis yet? Nobody even knows what that means. The fact is that the orders of the Supreme Court, and they created the wiggle room for this mess instead of just ordering Trump to do what the lower court judge said. But orders by the Supreme Court are being flouted. You have a dictator laughing at the Supreme Court. You have a dictator laughing at American judges like James Bosbang and saying, whoops, too late, when he ordered a plane to be turned around previously. And you have the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, saying that no court in the United States has a right to conduct foreign policy. They are, you know, so we're right in a constitutional crisis, and Americans just need to wake the heck up and see it.
And then, Ashley, on the tariffs and the economic issues, I see, Cal, that Marjorie Taylor Greene has been found to have been dealing in the stock market in the hours before the tariffs were changed last week. And the suspicion is that many others did so as well, that this is part of the grift.
Well, I'm going to say something you never thought you'd hear me say. I agree with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who said this should be investigated. And you're right, this is not alone. You had Nancy Pelosi, who as Speaker made $175,000 a year, becoming a multimillionaire. How do you do that? There's a lot of this stuff that's going on. And of course, Congress is not going to investigate itself, because once you expose one member, another member could say, oh, really? Well, I got something on you, too. So they all wink at each other and keep silent. This kind of stuff is outrageous. And I certainly think that it's extremely suspicious that Marjorie Taylor Greene would do this sort of stuff. But then so did some members of the Trump family who have profited and continue to profit, selling things like watches and my personal favorite, a God Bless America Bible, which Trump holds up on a TV commercial. So a book he's never read and can't quote a favorite verse from it, but is trying to sell to Americans who think he is one of them.
I'm surprised he hasn't claimed that he wrote it. I see as well that, well, there's also meme coins to bring into that equation as well. The cryptocurrency scams or something else as well. Interesting to see the Financial Times is just carrying a freshly published interview with Jamie Dimon, the chief executive of JP Morgan Chase, one of the heavy hitters on Wall Street, who has now said Trump's trade war risks eroding the US's credibility as a haven because of its prosperity, rule of law, and economic and military strength. And that's under threat from his president's attempt to reshape global trade. But let's move on, Marion, to what's happening in the universities. Is Harvard University the first university to show a bit of backbone as the Trump administration tries to do all sorts of damage to teaching in universities?
Yes, it is. But I will say that only the president of Harvard only stiffened his spine after there was outrage on the college campus that he was sounding a bit too conciliatory. And he is the first, the president of Princeton also, this is Alan Garber, the new president of Harvard, who took over after Claudia Gay was ousted. But they have said, no, you know what, we're not complying with you. And then Trump announced that he was cutting $2.2 billion in grants. Now, the reason, just to put this in context, Harvard has an endowment, that is money in the bank, basically, it's been given by donors, of about $54 billion. It makes about $5 billion a year on interest on that alone. But this endowment, about 20% is sort of undirected. 20% is, they can spend about $5 billion a year as they wish. There are no strings attached, effectively. About 70% is very specifically controlled by the donors. They say what they want it spent on. But but about $5 billion a year. You know, that's plenty to keep Harvard ticking over nicely without having to touch the endowment anyway. Just use the interest. So I'm really pleased that they did stand up. I think it's a past time. We saw Columbia cave in an absolutely shameful way. Trump now says he's going after about 60 colleges, including the University of Southern California, including Berkeley, of course, the obvious one, including UCLA, that he's taking Princeton. He's taking billions and billions of dollars in funding for all, from all of them. But you know what this is doing, Matt, along with, as part of the piece of picking up foreign students by men who are not wearing uniform or any ID with masks on their faces and bundling them off to undisclosed detention centres, this is having a chilling effect on international students. International students bring in about $50 billion a year in fees to American colleges who can charge them the earth. They're going to start going to other places where they, this is
like
the
Ireland.
Standards of college. Exactly. And I would say to the Irish universities out there who are listening.
Oh, they're already on it, Marion. They're already on it.
I sincerely hope so.
Well, okay, because we're running short of time. I want to go back to Cal, because whatever about you know, this trying to tell the universities what to do, what is deeply worrying is that I said the Naval Academy Library has taken out books by the likes of Maya Angelou, but given continued to hold Mein Kampf. And there's plenty of examples like that. For First Amendment people, they really are quite quite active in the thought police stakes, aren't they?
Well, Matt, you and I are both authors, and I'm against book banning, and I assume you are too.
Yeah.
I'd like to get some of my books into those libraries. I'll see if I can do that. I think it's stupid. I mean, people have a right to read. I don't know how these cadets have time to go to the library and read some of these books. But Mein Kampf is Hitler's philosophical foundation for killing Jews, homosexuals, and other people that he didn't like. And I think it's important to read this sort of stuff, especially that it not be repeated. Maya Angelou is a famous, wonderful poet who writes about her personal experiences growing up as a black woman. These are very important books and deserve to be available. So I'm with my late friend Nat Hentoff, a great First Amendment advocate. The answer to speech and to books and writings you don't like is not fewer of them, but more of them.
And to finish, Stu Marion, something different entirely. We've had the Real Housewives of New Jersey, the Real Housewives of New York, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But tell us about the Real Housewives in orbit.
Yeah, the ladies who launch, you know, I mean, really, I just find this a bit, you know, too, it's a bit nauseating, frankly, you know, going Katy Perry and Jeff Bezos' fiance, Lauren Sanchez, and her besties all heading off. You know, I mean, if you want to be a space tourist and you have loads of money, go be a space tourist, knock yourself out, have a ball for the 11 minutes you're up there, but don't pretend it's a big step for feminism. Just don't do that, okay? These are super rich women who obviously got bored going to Rodeo Drive for an afternoon, and you know, and they go off on this, and as I say, I'm fine with that. I hope they had a great time in their designer suits, but stop pretending it's something it's not. You know, really, it just go and, you know, again, and let them eat space cakes. They have no regard for what's happening on Earth. And by the way, just on a, you know, an environmental aspect, every one of those women, by going on this trip, they used more carbon than Thailand uses in an entire year. You know, so it was a nothing trip. They're not astronauts, and to compare them to the Russian astronaut who went off in 1963 and circled the Earth 48 times on her own is just laughable. It's just laughable. You know? Anyway, don't get me started.
I think the dogs that were sent up ahead of the astronauts has more credibility. Anyway, thank you very much, Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.